If anyone in this room has not converted, I don't care if it's for $2,000, I would do it by July 1st. Not January 1st, July 1st. I'm scared that if they change it, they might go back to a fiscal year instead of a calendar year.
So you need to have an attorney that is smart enough and has the relationship to guide the judge on what the code is and stand on it. That's the whole tax lien game.
All right. Well, welcome everyone to a special live episode of the Directed IRA podcast. This is Matt Sorensen, joined by the great and powerful, the rock star, Mark J. Kohler.
Thank you. That's not my brand, but since I am sponsored by Rockstar, I am now required under contract to demonstrate every rock star and make the sound on air. There we go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a joke. Anyway,
we're trying. Let's do your rock star brand. Yeah, it's just not your flavor,
sent
maybe.
Me some gear. Yeah. They sent me some gear. And we are joined by an amazing in studio audience. That's your cue.
All right.
We don't have the little box that lights up and says applause. So.
Yeah, or laugh. You know, you're gonna have to choose whether to laugh or not.
We're gonna give them that choice. Okay,
All right. You know, that's reality. So, well, we just came off of an amazing self-directed IRA summit here in Dallas, Texas, and so we want to do a quick recap. Mark and I want to give some takeaways. We have a couple people here that spoke, and some of the attendees that we'd met that we just want to bring up for a second and just have a good little chat. First of all, for those of you catching the podcast that weren't here, guys, what are you doing with your life? Why were you not here? You missed out on all these cool people.
Well, I'm going to take the non-shaming approach, and I'm going to say thank you to all of you that are here live and watching us make the sausage. You know, it's not pretty, but we're trying to make a podcast every week and come up with good stuff. But we appreciate you here listening to the recording and those that are here live. We just love what we do, and we know you wouldn't be here if you didn't love the whole process of self-directing and building wealth and the American dream. And so it's an honor to be here with you. And so hopefully we'll share something insightful. We've got, like you said, two guests we want to bring up and share some of the things they're doing.
Yeah.
But before we bring them up, we were going to talk about some of our new cutting-edge ideas that you and I are doing personally. We got to be authentic. So tell me what you're self-directing now. I want to hear it. Give me something good.
Well, so this was a new slide at today's summit. Some of you guys saw it up there. I'm doing private money lending. Now, it's not sexy. Okay? Mark's going to be like, I'm buying cows. I'm mining crypto. Okay? I'm private lending my money. And this is an important thing that I talked about. And this is my little takeaway because I put together this. That was a new slide. I mean, I just like to play the hits when I come and do some of this stuff, right? I have my slides I've done. Some of you have seen me before. It's like, I've seen that slide. I added a new one in today.
Okay.
Okay, here's why I'd like to.
Defend your story, because obviously you got to sell us on this.
My money's being lent to another investor that needed the money to go do a real estate deal. Okay. They took my money at 12% interest at 2 points. Okay. John helped me with it. And it's one of the people he's worked with before too. And so, but that money goes for 6 months. So I'm going to lend that money twice. Okay. So I'm making 14% on that loan, but I'm going to lend that money again for 12% interest over a year to another borrower who's also going to pay me 2 points. So I'm really making a 16% total rate of return for the year on that money. Now, the rule of 72 says, when does your money double? 72 divided by 6.
Have you done that?
16 is 4.5 years.
Should I test
my money will double every 4.5 years. Okay. So I ran the math. That's a $100,000 loan that I did. That $100,000 loan, if I can keep doing that with just that same $100,000, not putting any more money into my account, just working with that $100,000, in 16 years, it will be $1.6 million.
Wow.
If you can keep doing that. Are you excited now?
Yeah, you got me. I'm excited about that now. That is super cool.
I got you at $1.6 million.
You got me at $1.6 million. You had me at, hello, thank you. No, I love it. Okay, well, that is pretty sexy. Well, I'm going to speak to the common man, you know, you rich people that have $100,000 to throw around, you know, okay. not all of us has that, you know, a luxury. No, I'm having fun. I've got two or three little things we're doing. Is Isaac in the room? Okay. He's not. Isaac was running our MJK table today. This last month, I think he's on his fourth or fifth deal. He's buying mobile homes, in the southeastern Idaho area for about $15,000. They could be as low as 10 up to 20.
Is the Trans Am included?
You know what? I didn't interrupt you when you were doing your, you know, sexy story. Trans Am up on blocks comes with it.
The appliances come included.
A wife beater t-shirt with every purchase. No, anyway, so he's buying mobile homes They're putting about $5,000 to $8,000 in them, just refurbishing them and flipping them for about 30. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm in. I want two. He's like, all right, we're going to be making another round of purchases. So with my little Dutton, Kohler Dutton Livestock LLC, that's okay. already in Idaho,
yeah.
that sold the cows, and I've got enough
some money ready to roll.
It's ready to roll. And I'm being fully transparent. I think I've got $17,000 sitting in that little LLC. I bought my cows for 9 or 10 and I got out and it's been sitting in some crypto. So it's up to 17. So I'm going to buy a mobile home.
Okay.
And I will report back to you on a podcast soon.
Okay.
And I would love to turn that into $27,000.
Okay.
Then maybe I can buy two more mobile homes. You know, so
yeah,
us little people.
Yeah, down on Baltic Avenue and Ocean Avenue with the mobile home.
I'll work up to James and
St. James Place, maybe.
Yeah,
St. Maybe a little Marvin's Gardens.
It's not pretty. You Park Avenue, people. So anyway, that's a little project I'm in. Right now, I'm still sweet on crypto. I think with Wall Street allowing it in the fund position, the SEC rulings this year has been good. We saw a run with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Solana. I think the Solana blockchain has a lot more going for it than any other blockchain. There's a lot of NFT and transactional utility programming happening on the Solana blockchain. And it's at like $300. And I mean, I think you got Bitcoin at 50 or 60 or more, and I got Solana at $300.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room with Solana. So I'm in on that.
You're like a renaissance man. Well, mobile homes, Solana crypto.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. You know? So I had one other thing, but I'll hold it close to my chest. I think that's where I'm at for now.
Okay.
So it'll be fun.
Okay. So. All right. So awesome people that we met here today. The other thing I wanted to mention, my other takeaway, and then we're going to have John Shikarchi up and David Anderson, two guests we're going to interview here. The other takeaway I had was I met a couple of clients that I've had for a long time, 10 plus year people I talked to 10 years ago. Okay. I know I look, you know, I've got a great skincare routine and everything. I know I look like a spring chicken. But
and they still will talk to him. That's another win.
That's the truth. Okay, they like me because they've gotten some big accounts.
Okay.
And one of the takeaways I got from them was they just freaking did it. And they consistently did it. And some of these guys have 10 million, 5 million plus accounts now. And they started in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the way that they did it, and both of them had a great conversation, both of them last night, was just being consistent. Okay. They weren't hitting the home runs. They were just consistent about getting returns year after year after year. And they did it for 10 plus years. And that's the benefit now that, you know, we've been doing this a while. You know what I mean? And now these clients are coming back to us and we get to hear the backside of this after you have that time and money working for you and building up. It's pretty impressive what can happen.
Well, that's good. My takeaway from the event was just, it's exciting to be here and feel all the energy.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds cliche, but it is fun. Everybody's like, to have this many nerds all in one spot, you know, no offense.
That was a compliment.
That was a compliment, you know, that are worried about their money and taking active steps to do it. You got to pat yourself on the back. It's so many people are passive. And what are they doing on a Saturday? Many people, nothing. And you guys are here learning and growing. And then you're going to take that back to your families, your friends, and share it. And I just think that's exciting.
You know, one of the things I had one of our younger employees come up and ask me, he's like, how do you learn so much stuff and know so much stuff? And I said, I listen to podcasts. Mm. And I'm like, he's like, I do too. And I'm like, what podcasts do you listen to? All sports. And I told him, I know nothing going on in the sports world.
He doesn't. I will verify that. Right. Yeah.
So is it the Bulls or the
you're going to hurt yourself.
Did they play each other? No, I don't know.
Yeah, he goes, the Yankees and Bulls were playing the other day. I was so excited.
One of them scored a touchdown. No, I know enough. But I'm just saying like and it was, you know, maybe someone listened to this podcast, you might feel good about yourself. But okay, well, let's invite up John Shikarchi. Have a seat up here, John. John was one of our speakers today on the panel. Some of you have heard him, friend of the podcast, been on before. And but
he's a hero of mine too. I just love that John is a living, breathing example of just base hits. Just base hits. And I love too, John, that you invest based on your network and your knowledge. Like you've got this network of people, you've got this industry knowledge, and you're like, that's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay in my lane. You don't hear John talking about investing in you know, crypto or mobile homes. He's like, nope, that's smart. He's dumb. Yeah. You can go do that. I'm going to stay in my lane.
Hey, I'll buy my fourth Rite Aid, you know? Just, that thing that works, see, that's what I'm telling you. Right? The people that don't, they just do the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Okay, I made money doing one Rite Aid, you know, from a wall that had a Walgreens across the street, so they need to get rid of it. I'll go do the second one and the second one.
Yeah.
So tell me what your takeaway is. Yeah, so John, welcome.
So let me just stay with that for a second. That's sexy and exciting, and it looked nice on the screen. But leading up to that, all singles. Like you finished the conference with the little movie clip. I never did anything big. I did a lot of safe little things, add up over time.
Holy, you showed the clip where I was Brad Pitt?
Well,
yeah, okay.
It didn't work, actually.
It didn't work, but.
So I told the story. Yeah, get on base. Yeah. So it didn't work out, but I gave a good summary of it, right? I gave a good summary of it. It still hit home.
But John, I like that. You're right. You're just single.
A lot of little safe things.
Do you remember the first deal you did in your IRA? What was one of the first deals?
That loaning. Lot that you carved off a little piece.
Yeah, loaning though. We won't name who they are, but we were somebody else before we opened your company. Yeah. But the first deal I did was, unfortunately, I didn't convert right away.
Okay, it was traditional.
I was still, in a traditional. And just started loaning. You know, being a developer and a lawyer on the front lines, we come across a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
So we just kept lending and lending, and it rolls and rolls. We traditionally do 12%, 2 points, and it just kind of exploded. Mm-hmm. And then as you build up more and convert more, you get a little more power and you can do bigger deals. And with your help and Mark's help, you can be a little creative and not have to borrow and figure different things out. And before you know it, it's just, you know, I was giving an example to someone today. In the real world, I call it the real world, you excited, you go do a deal, you make $100,000. Government, in where we're from, roughly taking 40%. April 15th, the money's gone, you start again. In the Roth world, you're not paying that. And that's compounding so quickly.
Yes.
You wake up and all of a sudden you have a pretty good little piggy bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
It's the best account to continue to grow, right? Because there's no... Yeah. 1/3 coming out, 40% coming out every year. You know, you get to keep the whole damn thing and reinvest it.
Okay, I got a good question for John. I'm not going to throw many softballs.
Okay.
You know?
We're
going to go hard hitting.
Hard hitting.
What is your biggest threat? Like what you're worried about, like in this, maybe it's small, but what's the biggest one? Like in what you're doing now, what are you worried about the most? Is there something that you're concerned about?
President Biden. Well, not him personally. I'm concerned with his. We're all here to try to build wealth and hopefully do it in a way that can help us in retirement. And the law and the IRS has given us incentive to go into the Roth space, which is great. Get ahead, they get their tax, and I'm a little concerned that they're changing the rules of the game.
Yeah.
I'm concerned, and I believe you had a podcast on that you're doing all this and they want to change it. So my biggest advice is if anyone in this room has not converted, I don't care if it's for $2,000, I would do it by July 1st, not January 1st, July 1st. I'm scared that if they change it, they might go back to a fiscal year instead of a calendar year. Mm-hmm. That way you're grandfathered, hopefully it doesn't happen, probably won't, but if it does, it's just that opportunity to be gone for your lifetime. And to get into that space in that lane with a Roth, there's no other way I know in this country to accumulate wealth legally, right?
Yeah.
Faster and with having fun. It's fun doing it in that space.
Well, I'm not as worried because I've got Social Security and I hear it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Yeah. And
you couldn't even get a one bath, one bed, one bath in Del Boca Vista with the Social Security.
Yeah.
The max check.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And it's not like it's a possible thing. They've already tried the administration. And again, there's good things that the Democratic Party does. There's bad things the Republican Party does. But when it comes to this space, we know the both administrations have shown their colors, red or blue, how they want to treat the retirement account space.
Yeah.
Because Social Security is not where it's at, and we're lucky it's there. It'll probably stay there. It's an institution that we just can't get rid of, and not that we want to either, but we've got to be able to supplement our own retirement. And I think the Republicans are like, yes, go do it. We need you to do it. Go. And so that's interesting. What's one of the biggest opportunities you see right now? Like, what are you excited about? Like
I mean, I'm talking to a lot of different people asking my advice. I give a little analogy. A lot of people like rental properties, and that's fine, but that's work, right? We all know if anyone's mm-hmm. residential rentals work. And I always give an example. I say, if you have money, $100,000, you have the power, right? You have the money. You buy the rental property, now the money's in the rental property. You get the tenant, they don't want to pay. Where's my money? The money is over here, but the tenant has the power. Basement leaks, if it snows out from where we are, or they're quabbling, they don't want to pay you, I've got to go evict them. Meantime, I'm paying carrying costs and have liability. So I don't like that. If you yeah. give private loans, you're the mortgagee, you're the bank. You have the power. If they unfortunately don't pay and you're in first position, we take the property. If someone has slips and falls, no liability to you.
Yeah.
If it burns down, God forbid, there's a loss, we're on the policy, we get paid. So I like to be the private lender. I like to be in first position. And it's simple for people who are passive. You can just get professionals in your jurisdiction, hire good appraisers and good lawyers, and protect yourself and have good documents done. To me, that's the best way to use your money.
The downside to the private money lending is your return is capped.
It is.
So let's say that I bought a property. It was cash flowing rental.
Got a good tenant.
And mm-hmm. I got a good tenant. And you lent me the money on it at 12% interest, let's say. And let's say I buy that property for 200 and it turns into 300. Well, I'm just paying you 12% interest, but I get to keep the whole upside of the sale.
True.
So there can be pros and cons, but I do have that risk of that tenant risk. And that's one thing I've noticed from successful investors to rookies is a lot of rookie investors analyze the hell out of the property. They know everything about the property, from the inspection to how the numbers work out, what you can rent it to, what their costs are going to be, and they nail it. They even nail it. And then the first application that comes in to rent, lease it to them, that very first tenant, because I'm so ready to get that tenant in there and get a rent check, and it was a crappy tenant. They didn't even check and get multiple applications and take their time to get like the right tenant. Because like you said, you're giving that tenant some powers. You know, I think from on the renting side, that's probably one of the biggest lessons I've seen is like be very careful who you rent it to because they are either going to pay you or not.
Yeah, there's more moving parts with the rental, but more opportunity for maybe a swing and the big stuff. So in Vegas, what do? Do you just you stay away from craps and you're just slow and steady blackjack, right?
You know, and some bigger opportunities will present themselves to you, right?
I mean,
if you get that money like Matt talks about out, it's going along pretty good. And if another opportunity presents itself for a joint venture or a partnership or maybe a loan with a warrant to convert to equity, you can make some money that way. So every opportunity that comes across your table, analyze it. But if you're looking to not be too involved and you're really, really busy, the private lending is very nice. It's passive.
Yeah.
And it's unlimited, as Matt had
determined. Do you own any rental property?
At this point, I have only commercial. Mm-hmm. I've transitioned the last 10 years to only commercial. Mostly triple net leases to keep it clean.
Gotcha.
All right. Exciting. Do we have a live audience question maybe that we could take? If there's anybody in the audience got a question for John, for the podcast, you know.
Yeah. How do I do it, putting up with Matt and his
You dry guys mark any questions, you know. What's it like working with Matt Sorensen? Isn't he amazing? Yeah, anything? Okay, you know, is he always this great?
John was on a panel and everybody got their questions.
Okay, we got the question. Okay. Well, thanks, John, for coming in. Thanks for being at the
Good work, gentlemen.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And David, as you work your way up here,
let me intro David if you don't mind, because I got to talk to him a little bit before.
All right.
Okay. So this is Dr. David Anderson, Senior, right? I think I got the name right. Okay. And I didn't meet David until now, so we're going to see how this goes. But he was at the conference. We had a quick little conversation. And the reason I wanted to have him on the podcast is because he's doing cool things with his own retirement account. Mm-hmm. And he's helped a lot of people, too, who are using their retirement accounts.
And he has nice shoes. I like those shoes. Those look good. You may have the same shoes.
I mean, I like my shoes, too. But
he was on Team HSA.
That's true.
Yeah. So right there alone. So what are you doing with your HSA right now?
But your Roth IRA is in a good deal because we talked about that one.
So I do some cool things with Roth Constellation. So I'm in Atlanta. I'm in Georgia. We invest in real estate tax lien certificates. Okay. That's all I've been doing for the past 12 or so years. We got a team. The attorney is here. The broker's here. The researcher's here. I kind of brought everybody.
Oh, I love it.
So it's like baseball, you know, tax liens are.
Yeah. Okay.
Because okay. tax liens afford us this opportunity to buy at an extremely low rate. So Robert F. Smith, he lives here in Dallas Tech, in Austin, excuse me. And he says that the way to build wealth is to take advantage of an arbitrage for 10 years. And so we're not on the market trading, you know, Alphabet and Google and stuff. We're dealing with dirt. So we practice real estate arbitrage using these tax lien certificates.
So how does the tax lien work? When you buy a tax lien, for people who aren't familiar with it, right, you get a certain rate of return on it.
Right.
Explain how the tax lien works and why there's like some upside sometimes too.
Yeah. So the great state of Georgia is very similar to Texas. The code is, it reads similarly. So in Georgia, the state mandates that you pay 20% on the money. So what we do is when our IRA investors or whatever come into a deal, we pay 20%. And that's mandated by the state.
Okay.
Here in Texas, I think it's 24%.
Okay. So let's even back up further for those that may not know. So someone owns a house in Georgia. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason in their life, they can't pay their property taxes.
Right.
And after a year, or how long does it have to be a delinquent before state's going to sell that lien?
So in the code, when you download code, be it Texas code or Georgia code, it has what they call a right to redeem. Okay. And in Georgia is, we interpret it as 12 months, and then we add 45 days for the barment process.
Okay.
Here in Texas, it's 24 months, but if you buy into something called a homestead exemption, if you buy a homestead, which means it's a trust or LLC, it's 6 months rather than the 24.
Okay.
So once you identify how long you want to wait, what we found in Georgia is that you don't necessarily have to wait the 12 months, because that applies to something called a non-judicial tax sale. Georgia has an in-realm judicial, which the revisionary period is 60 days. And then Georgia has something called a judicial time frame, which is only 30 days to get the deed, where I don't have to wait the 12 months.
Okay, so let me back up.
We got to back up. Now, I'm working like a fifth grader here, because some people, they're like, a tax lien, that sounds really what? So homeowner in Georgia, and I apologize, I want to go basic. Homeowner in Georgia hasn't paid their taxes. They were due November 1st.
Real estate property taxes.
Real estate property taxes. Mm-hmm. Let's say they were due November 1st. They're delinquent by January 1st or whatever. Like how many months until you can buy that? Yeah. The county issues a lien, records it against the property, public record, and then you can buy that lien.
Yeah. So there's different types of liens that we're targeting, right?
Okay.
In your explanation, there are liens that, let's say, are due in November and they didn't get paid by February. So the county turns it over to the tax commissioner.
Okay. Right?
That's where the tax liens are born.
Oh, that's where I'm asking. Right. So that's where they're born. Okay.
Well, in Georgia, we can't go buy those from the commissioner unless they're bought in blocks and you're dropping like $5, $10 million. That's
wow.
It's collusion. It's all this other, you know.
Deep state stuff.
And a company called Vesta Holdings is in that business.
Okay.
When it's born there in the tax commissioner's office, it then takes about 24 to 36 months to go through the process of maturing at the courthouse steps.
Wow.
Okay. I don't want to wait the 36 months. So I've given instructions to research to only target what comes up at the sheriff's sale. That's all I'm interested in. I'm not interested in what's going on in the incubation room for birthing. I want to know what's happening at that courthouse
step. Okay. When do they normally get to the courthouse step?
Per the code, first Tuesday of the month. And I believe it's the same here in Texas.
But I mean, about how long have they not paid their taxes? So the lien was born?
36 months ago. Then with COVID and, you know, the courts being down.
Wow. So it's been a long time by the time you get there to buy something, it's like been years.
They're negligent. So this whole argument of, oh, you're stealing people's houses. Your guy didn't pay for 3, 4, 5 years. Stop it.
They had a chance to redeem.
You had a chance to redeem. And then they give you another 12 months after the fact. So this is a conscious way of like stepping in and taking control of it.
To help the community and get this house back on its feet and all that.
And so what's happening here is, right, the county wants their money. And they're like, we want to get freaking paid.
We want to get paid. We need this
and
money.
And so they're not going
to
hold this or deal with foreclosure. So they let investors come buy these. Mm-hmm. Then you get certain rights because you pay off the county, but now you've got the lien.
We got a deed.
You got the deed, actually.
See, it's born when it's at the commissioner's office is a lien.
You're never buying the lien.
I don't fool with lien.
You're only getting the deed.
I want the deed from the sheriff.
You're not buying the tax lien.
No. What I have in my hand is a sheriff's deed. This says a tax foreclosure signed by the sheriff.
Is that Matt's house? You were going to bring that. Matt, did you know.
This was attorney-client privileged.
We'll get to that transaction. But I'm not blowing smoke. That's like
Matt,
I
hate to tell you, on Monday...
Yeah.
I'm sending the sheriff over. We're packing up your shit.
David owns my house. I cut a deal with him. David's Roth IRA. Oh, do you own 50% too? Okay.
All right. So this is a real deal.
That's a real deed for a real transaction that's really happening. And there's a cool backstory behind it where we were able to create some more value based off of a conversation I had with Mr. John.
Okay. Let's talk about this one. Right. Is this the one that has your Roth IRA?
Yeah. We did that through a Roth.
Okay. So this is the land. Can we talk about this just for a second?
Yeah.
This is land in Augusta, Georgia. Yes. Tell us about the land. You bought the deed. Your Roth comes in. Give the story.
Yeah. So, I started this Roth World History Tour in, 2019. I went to another meeting similar to this and not as good though. I had an opportunity to learn about the Power Zero, David McKnight, in your book.
Okay.
So your guy, Mr. Bowens, said...
They were even giving out my book.
Yeah, John Bowens recommended that if you didn't have...
They're our competitor, by the way.
Self-directed IRA handbook.
Yeah.
Like you wasn't in the IRA game. And so I was like, oh, I got to get this book. So that's how I came into...
You're not helping with the ego issue in our office, but keep going.
No, I'm being serious, man. I knew nothing about this. And so I was at, when you talk about being at zero, my Roth was literally at zero.
Okay.
So I read McKnight's book. I read your book. I got some understanding of the strategy, and then I went to work. So as we contributed the $6,000 annually, I took the little $12,000 or $18,000 that was in there after 3 years, or 2 years, excuse me, and then I bought a tax lien, and I bought a judicial tax lien so I wouldn't have to wait 12 months, and then I sold that, and then I sold it again to get the Roth up to where it was to do this deal.
Okay.
All right. So
you did a couple deals. You got in small dollar amounts. I made some money.
Learned the system. Met the sheriff.
Well, yeah, we
washed his car. You know, whatever.
No, we don't do that. We just read the county newspaper. That simple. We created some software, and we have people monitoring the legal newspaper in all 159 counties in the great state of Georgia. And when it pops up, we go and raise the capital, and we go after it. So the research department said, "Hey, something popped up. We need to talk." And I was like, "What is it?" And they're like, it's off of I-20 across the street from the Augusta National.
Woo.
So I'm like, well, what's the situation? A gentleman who was a hotelier dies, right? And leaves the estate to the children. Huh? And of course,
who are totally responsible.
The children, totally responsible. Don't pay the taxes on it. And it was behind 8 years.
Wow.
And so this thing comes to market in Richmond County, signed by the Richmond County Sheriff, in Augusta.
And people were sleeping. They didn't see this coming.
No, people showed up.
Oh, okay.
They showed up. The little townspeople showed up. You know, the bid started. Nicole Jennings, she's the broker. She actually bid on the house because I was on the property. I was in Atlanta bidding on another property. And I think the property started at $38,000 and, you know, it went up.
Yeah.
But whoever the gentleman was on the other side didn't want to go past $100,000. And we were ready to go the distance because I knew that property was worth $1 million.
Wow.
So I authorized her to go like 250 or something like that. But she wound up getting it at 100.
101.
No, just 100.
100 grand.
I don't think they thought we had the money though. So I think they thought it was funny. Like, whatever. You know, these people from Atlanta don't have it. She paid it.
Man. Yeah, okay.
So we got the deed. Now this is where it gets interesting.
But the buyer is your Roth IRA.
Yeah, the buyer.
Roth IRA, LLC.
Okay. Yes, LLC, okay, owned by your Roth.
Yes, sir. And so the tax commissioner issues the deed to we normally put the property in the name of the address.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So there's the address owns it, and then that's owned by the Roth.
Okay, like 123 Green Street LLC.
Green Street is owned by the Roth.
Yes, and that LLC is 100% by the Roth. Yeah. Okay, got it.
And so in 2020, when we got the appraisal in 2020, the appraisal says $750.
Right? How long is this after you purchased it?
This is like as soon as I got it, I called my appraiser. He works 4 hours. Right. I okay. sent him to Augusta. He's from Augusta.
Okay.
I said, hey, we got this deed. I need you to appraise this because I had to put on the FMV form valuation.
Yeah, what's
or whatever.
Your IRA's worth now?
So, yeah. And I needed a third-party appraisal. It couldn't have been something from Zillow or whatever. I had to pay the $750. He goes out. He says it's $750,000. I'm like, okay, I'm going to hold this, right? Mm-hmm. We get through the pandemic. It's 2022. I got to get a revaluation because I didn't do it for 2021. Keith says, okay, man, 1.5. This is MAI certified. This is not speculation, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I'm like, this is nuts. I said, okay, we'll let it sit again. I'm not, going to do anything with it. We went to a few hotel conferences. We were trying to peddle it or whatever. And so earlier this year, I had to reappraise because we went to the hotel conference in Miami to try to get some people interested.
How many acres is it?
2.5.
Right on. Is it on the course or just around the corner?
So I don't like to blow smoke. But,
oh, okay.
So this is a copy of the...
Now, did you get tickets to the Masters last week?
This is like
week?
Augusta National.
You know, right. I tried to go there, and we actually pulled up on them, and they were like, Dr. Anderson, we don't care who you are, who you know.
Yeah.
You have to be invited in.
Oh, my God.
So no Masters for me. But so what happened was we reappraised earlier this year in February, and it reappraised at $2.5 million.
Wow.
So that's what it's listed for on Craigslist.
Yeah.
But this is where it gets ill. I see John today. I'm like, hey, man, I need to talk to you because he's an attorney. He knows law.
Done some development
And he's
deals.
Done some, I hear, entitlement deals.
Yeah.
And, this whole entitlement thing has been floating around the office about this strategy where intelligent speculators can look for properties that they know the counties are building areas in, right? We know that the Masters, like, unlike football, the Masters is every year at in Augusta. It doesn't
move
around.
It's not bouncing.
It's not the FIFA World Cup. It's in Augusta.
Yeah.
And Augusta is the head of cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is number one right now in the country. We're getting attacked 5 times a day on local levels in municipalities. In Atlanta, the 911 call center is like taking an hour to respond because of cyber attacks. It's nuts right now. Wow. So there's a lot of money coming into Augusta.
Yeah. On that note, may I add? So the first time I went to Augusta, I went to TaxSlayer. The headquarters right there. Mm-hmm. I was working with them for 2 years. I was kind of their face on a few things. And I got to go to Augusta and I flew into Augusta Airport.
Daniel Field.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it was unbelievable. I'd never been there.
Yeah.
And it was just a little strip.
Don't be fooled,
nothing,
man.
And then I'm like, what's all this land around here?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, those are for the private jets.
Private jets.
Because when Augusta hits, it's like,
if you go on Instagram,
it's unbelievable.
There was 1,500 jets, and I don't mean like Honda jets. I'm talking like Global Express, G6, G5, G4. So the place is more popular in my mind than Atlanta.
Yeah.
So long and short,
wow.
John's like, hey, kid, get the entitlements. Get a guy. Everybody's got a guy, right? Go get a guy, walk through zoning, get these entitlements. And now the valuation will be based on the door count. The Hilton's next door, their door count's 115.
Mm. Plus Dunkin' Donuts is around the corner. That's got to be a
Starbucks.
Big hit. Yeah.
So if we can get a 135 door count or 150 door count, that's a $7 million valuation.
Wow. Yeah.
Without having to go to the hotel conference and build or do all this other crazy
stuff. Just getting zoned properly.
Just entitlements.
Okay.
Yes, which is good to do paper development because that's what Sean and I have done. We've gone through development deals he's done is you want to just do the paper development. Once you start moving dirt, then you can get into UBIT tax.
Yeah.
Because now you're like doing a real estate development. You might need the blocker. But if you just
keep
it to paper,
give it to paper, then no UBIT. I'm a hotel developer. I'm a tax deed purchaser.
But you could get to the entitlement. That's a good step.
All right, so you got the entitlement.
No. This just happened today.
What are you charging him, John? What the hell?
This is as a result of the conference.
Jeez.
Yeah, going from 2 to 7, it just is because we came to the conference, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
From the stands. So tell them the tip I gave you how to find a lawyer.
Okay. John asked the tip about how to find the lawyer.
And I know this strategy works because this is how I came to find my original tax deed attorney. So. It's really hard to get recommendations.
Who's here today, right?
Robert is a student. He's general counsel for the firm. But we're all students of this one gentleman. His name is John Ayoub in Atlanta.
Okay, cool.
This guy's like a Jedi.
Yeah.
But how I found Ayoub was going to court and watching. Like, you can't go get on the phone and be like, hey, I need a tax lien specialist attorney that specializes in
title action. I know exactly where you're going, and I know what John told you, but go ahead.
Yeah.
I know
he's like, hey, kid, go to the zoning, right, and sit in the back of the court, right, eat your popcorn, don't say much.
Yep. Watch who the players
are. Observe.
Yep.
How they respond to the attorney.
Yep.
Does the judge say hello, how the kids, blah, blah, blah. What kind of relationship does this guy have? And that's who you want. And that's really what this game is about. It's real estate is cool, but it's law related. If you're not into law, you don't got to be a lawyer, but you got to know the code. Mm-hmm. And if the lawyer can't lawyer, you got a problem.
Yep.
And you can't order the lawyer who practices bankruptcy.
Yep.
You got to order the lawyer that knows the code specific to what's going on in that jurisdiction.
Totally. That's like,
game.
Wow. We did a zone change on that land we bought. Remember that we were going to do commercial office.
That's right.
And we took it. And actually in that town, this is in Utah, it's all engineers that go before the planning and zoning commission. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not attorneys.
Yeah,
you go hire an engineer. And that's what we did. The guy, there's like three or four of them. That's all they do. All day long, and they're in that planning and zoning commission. The planning and zoning commissioners know them. We didn't want to go hire the big one from Salt Lake City. Mm. Hell no.
Yeah.
Or the real estate lawyer.
To get home.
Get that guy that's in that thing every month
every
and at that meeting, and they know. And they
that's
got,
what he does.
Yeah. So that's how you found the lien guy.
Well, that John A.U. is who is. That's kind of how. So you need three things to do this successfully, right?
Okay.
You need knowledge, right? The information about the arbitrage, right? Mm-hmm. And so that real estate knowledge, we spend like over $300,000 a year just for that, right? So I know that that is pure, crystallized information is what we're investing on.
Gotcha.
But the second thing I need is I need good lawyering, right? Yeah. And I don't need regular attorneys. I need super
connected attorneys
that know the code.
Yeah.
That can, because see these judges in Georgia, you don't got to go to law school to be a judge. You just need an appointment. So that means you got Joe Blow that might have a feeling about you putting Miss Mamie out because you read the code and now you got slick and got in front of that. They might have a feeling about that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They might feel a certain way about you buying this piece of dirt for $100,000 and it's worth $7 million. No, I would not. I don't care what the law says, right? This is a judge. Yeah. We're going to make this not happen.
Yeah.
So you need to have an attorney that is smart enough and has the relationship to guide the judge on what the code is and stand on that. That's the whole tax lien game.
Okay, so you figured that out for the tax lien game, but now you're doing a new thing with the entitlement. So you're going to implement that same strategy.
Yeah, I'm going to go do what he said.
Go to the
court.
Planning commission or wherever. Select
the right attorney.
Well,
find the guy hitting it. I love it. Yeah, okay.
And then get out of the way. But the bottom line is that the tax liens, and this is what I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
We ran into a little hole, right? We went in the Matrix, right? My last name's Anderson. Dude's name was Neo, right? So we went in the Matrix, but we got more information when we were in the Matrix in that book.
Yeah.
Because the third thing that you need is not just the information. It's not just good lawyering. You need the money. Mm-hmm. And I can't go to Bank of America and sit down at, SBA, go to Merrill and get $1 million to go buy tax liens. It's not going to happen. It's the IRA investors that say, okay, kid, what's your track record? I got 12 years of buying history with deeds on books. So now I have a track record and a plan and a team to introduce to IRA investors that say, hey, I think this has merit.
Yeah.
And I want to invest in it. And I never would have known about that had you not written that book. And that's the most important thing is the capital when these opportunities pop up.
I just want to point out, Matt wouldn't have written that book if it wasn't for me. So you're welcome. you're welcome. Yeah, thank you.
So anyway, I wanted to just tell you that.
He's not wrong. Yeah.
No, that is so exciting. Congratulations. No, wow.
Yeah, that was an incredible story. Yeah. And it was cool to connect with you and your team here that was here also. It's awesome. Okay. They're super knowledgeable. And so let's give a round here for everyone live for Dr. Thank David you. Anderson, Sr. Yeah. And
I know
closing thoughts.
Yeah, I just want to know if you're like me, you've got like 20 more questions for David and John, and like just like, oh, what? How did you do it? But I think what I'm feeling too is just I want to applaud you or compliment you for that determination to just keep learning, to spend the money to make the money. You're like you've got a team, you've invested in them, you do your research. And you're careful, and like
he did,
you're doing the base hits. But then once in a while,
Yeah, what we
you
got
hit that home run.
This was the home run.
You get a home run.
He
and
did
then,
the
but did. Back to work just doing base hits.
Just do base hits, man.
Yeah.
And he did the did.
He did the did. Now you get to enjoy the do. So what's the game plan? You're going to get entitlements and get as much as you can and exit in the next year or longer?
I'm
what do you think?
Give it to New York Life and get the death benefit for $10 million. Put in insurance. Or I don't know yet. I mean, we got to get the entitlements first. When the money comes in, we'll figure it out then. I know I don't need a whole lot. I mean, my house and everything is being paid for.
Yeah. No, I love it. So $10 million a Roth is the goal. That'd be exciting with this one deal.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool. So ultimately, I'll tell you really what the goal is.
Yeah.
I hate flying commercial. Like, I don't like it at all.
And
I know it sounds like, oh, this guy's pretentious, but I don't like taking off my shoes. I don't like TSA going through my bag. I don't like none of that.
Oh, once you fly private?
Yeah.
There's no turning back.
I had a Marquee card.
No, it's crazy.
I had to give it back.
But I got lucky once and I was like.
Honda Jet has a new little thing that's like $4 or $5 million.
And the jet cards are cool too. I know, but it's a way to, you know, get wrong. Okay.
I've tried that already. And then, you know, you're ordering a certain plane to go do the mission, and then they send you a Pilatus with one engine on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, man, I just
they
spent
give you
20 hours. You're sending me a Pilatus? I ordered a G6.
You don't look 59 and a half. You're going to have to wait.
I'm 49 and a half.
Okay. 49. You got 10 years to drain this. I mean, 10 years to build it. And then in 10 years, you can start training.
So, yeah, in 10 years, I would do the plane thing.
Do the plane
right
in 10
now,
years.
Right now, I've got the blinders on. We're at the Kentucky Derby. We're just doing tax liens. I'm not doing anything else.
Now, with all that joking around, though, but seriously, if you're like, you know, you've built a life, like you just said, I've got a good lifestyle. I'm debt-free, and I'm doing it. But I love that you do have a goal. You're like, hey, in 10 years, I'm going to turn 59 and a half. And I want to have a plane. I'm just so excited for you.
I'll just say this right quick before we close. This is my son's ring, Middlebury College, 2020. This is his graduation.
Oh my gosh!
You're gonna love this story. We paid for David Jr.'s undergraduate with the tax liens. I set up a LLC just to pay for his tax liens. So when somebody was talking earlier about the kid graduating, I think it was you. With no student loans, right? This is what this ring represents. No student loans. This kid goes and applies for the graduate school at Harvard. He's there now. He's graduating in May from the Graduate School of Arts and Sciences. He graduates. When he graduates with no debt.
Wow. Right? Congrats.
While he was at Harvard, he applies for the doctoral program at Princeton.
Oh, my word.
So I'm like, damn, I still got to keep. I'm like, okay, it's over with, right? We're good. You don't got to do nothing else. He's like, Dad, I got accepted at Princeton for this doctoral program. I'm like, damn, how long is that? He's like, it's another 5 years. So
my gosh.
I got to keep investing in this account, right?
Yeah.
So I say that to say, like, what I'm learning is that we need to break out all of the main tickets in life, right? Mm. There's a big ticket for the HSA with the medical.
Yeah.
If something happens. You need to have the $5,000 or $10,000 to admit into the hospital for emergency. The HSA handles that. Yeah. The ESA accounts is $2,000 for each kid.
That were you using for your son? Did you do the ESA?
David Jr. I've been married twice. He was from my first marriage. I didn't know about ESA then.
Okay.
The current children now, their ESA account is what's paying for their $30,000 for each child, which is ridiculous. But that's coming out of the ESA now.
Got it.
But if I were to engineer everything 10 years ago when we started, I would have set up the ESA, HSA, and Roth. And I would do, if I'm doing 10 transactions a year, half of that, 60% of that would be in the tax-free environment.
Yeah.
I would only use the other 40% in an LLC
for your life.
But that's the game.
Yeah.
To set up those buckets like that and run for... Like, I got a 10-year run like you got. But what if I could have did this for 30 years?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And you know what? Some of you here that are like, if I would have only known this 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Well, you know now.
Yeah. So it works. It legit works. Like, this is real. He's on the internet. You can type him up. He's graduating end of May, 22nd from Boston.
Congrats. Let's come on everybody for that. Yeah. And
tax liens.
I love it. Now, on this note, John's off the mic, so I'll repeat what he says, but you paid for your daughters both in law school all through, which account? It was.
First of all, don't feel bad. I didn't convert. Mass Health, it was 49 now.
Oh, wow.
But
I remember.
I did that early with the Covadel accounts, and I invested, and I paid for both my daughters for private school in 10th grade.
I'll repeat this for everybody.
Then college and then law school. Mm-hmm. I funded it, did some deals. So we paid everything right at the end.
Nice. All in Covadel. Okay, so the ESA is the education savings account or Covadel, and you can only put $2,000. We didn't even cover it today.
Yeah,
you can only put $2,000 in it per year per child. But once you get that,
if you can make a good investment,
you get that rolling. That account is tax free and it comes out tax free for college. You can roll it to another kid if you don't use it up with one kid. And John paid for all of his two kids in college with the ESA.
They didn't go to cheap schools.
No. Yeah.
Georgetown.
Yeah, I mean, Harvard's like $70,000 a year. I mean, Middlebury was $75,000. I was like, yo, you couldn't find a cheaper school, man? I'm like, what is this?
Oh, my gosh.
But I know. The real estate took
I care. Sent mine to Tijuana State, and they did okay.
They did okay.
You're right. I mean, with flipping mobile homes.
There you go.
Well, see, I'm just the white trash guy here up here. Hey, just a token white.
No, you're not, man. Come on, stop it.
No, I love it. Anybody with kids under 10, 15 at least, that get the ESA going. Kids, we're so powerful.
Yeah.
And then what you said today about the qualifying the kids for the Roth.
Yes, the kids nuts. Roth IRAs.
You got to do that. Ugh. Like, all, if you have children, they should have earned income.
Yeah.
Even if it's just selling T-shirts.
Yep.
Those is when them kids come out and they give you a birth certificate, they should have an LLC.
Birth certificate, an LLC, and a Roth. Right there.
I love it. Just gotta get some, you know, gotta put, just get them in your business, you know, let's get them working in there. That's what I did with my kids, you know. And
what is the last question? What is the average tax lien cost when you're executing these at the sheriff's sale? What do you think?
Yeah. So there's two different windows that we're operating in right now. There's the first window, which is the land only. What's happening now, what we call them so-called real estate investors. These are the guys that just watch the internet. They want to get rich quick overnight. They're inflating the market, right? They're going and borrowing.
They'll buy money, anything.
And they're buying anything without doing research. They're causing the market to go sideways. So we've identified some extreme opportunities on the land side because these so-called real estate investors are not going to put the work in. They're not going to roll up their sleeves to develop. That's a huge opportunity.
They want houses. They want homes.
They want it. These people don't want to work. There's a new mentality with this social media where people think they can become a millionaire instantly.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's a false reality of what the real deal is.
Yeah.
So
the Kardashian effect.
Yeah. So if you go into the game with a land acquisition mentality, with great placement, doing what Mr. Smith tells us to do for the next 10 years with this real estate arbitrage thing, you're going to win. It's just going to take you some time. Now, if we're going in to buy something with a structure on it, we're going to have to be competitive. Now, here's a deal that we did, I'll show you, where we spent, this house is on Zillow right now. It's listed, Nicole listed it. So we're on title here for this one. This is a Wrights Mill Circle. But the bottom line is we spent, I think, $30,000 on this house. And
30K, so you bought it, you got the deed, and it had a structure on it.
This house is a structure. Yeah, this is somebody's house. The guy's still in it right now. We're trying to get him out. Here it is right here. So here's the listing for what we purchased. You see the sold price?
$30,000.
What was the date?
March 2021.
Okay. Now let's go to the top and see what Zillow says. What is Zillow saying it's listed for?
$950,000.
What'd you say?
Yeah. You heard me. Yeah. $950,000.
Yeah, so that's an active listing, right? And what's cool about this listing is this is a listing.
David, we were talking about base hits. These are home runs.
But keep in mind, this was purchased in 2021.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is there's patience, there's time.
And you're only letting in it this deal, because even though we're on title right now, the gentleman that resides in the house, he was an ex-baseball player, and so he's got a little juice. I guess he knows somebody at the court. So because it was during the pandemic, the courts have been sympathetic to his situation. Because they kind of know this dude and he's getting older and they're like, ah. But
Robert's running out.
Time's out.
Yeah.
Robert's been lawyering and Robert's got him on the fence. We got to go to court with this guy when we get back. He's done.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is if you spend 30 grand,
yeah,
subject to, we're on title.
Yeah.
And that's the real valuation. And the cool thing about it, which is what I was showing you, is that that's a listing. See, Nicole is the listing agent.
There, yeah.
Meaning that we own the brokerage that listed the property. Yeah, that's cold. So so what I'm saying is the tax liens is a tremendous opportunity. If you can put together a team, people that you trust, everybody can participate.
Wow.
You just got to have the right, you have to have crystallized information. You have to go through the process of sifting through the noise on the internet, because Google's not enough. Like Google is, Zillow and Google, there's been instances where Nakia has corrected them. And everybody is going on Zillow thinking that that's, you know, the gospel. And then when you get to the tax courthouse, it's something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just a lot of nuances.
Well, please. Congratulations. Have your team stand up. Can we see him?
Who's here? Robert?
Hey, look at you.
Robert's here. I love it. The Nakia is here. Hey, y'all.
Okay. You guys are awesome.
The real
brains behind all that. Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, yeah. David, thanks for being here again. And John, thank you. And all of you. It's so inspiring. And gosh, so much opportunity.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for being here live for our studio audience. Thanks for everyone listening. We'll be back with another episode of the Directed IRA podcast. Until then, stay calm.
Self-directed. We're going to be live from Stagecoach Coachella next week.
Are we?
No, I'm just.
We aren't. No. Yeah. I'm like, I'm
going to get Eric Church on.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, cool. All right. Till then. See you guys. All right.